I'm not sure if it's been announced or not. You may have picked up on it, but first Sunday of each month, we're trying to have more of the youth involved in the service. So if you appreciate the way that the youth were involved today, maybe be careful not to pull that over. Maybe let the youth know it. Make a little noise. Thank the youth for their participation. And we are trying to use every last ounce of Anya's skill before they head off. So thank you so much, Anya, for playing, and Dwight as well. Thank you all for participating in worship today. And I also love to hear that sound the first Sunday after the release day when the coins are dropped in that empty container. Did you notice how much that rattled? We raised, I believe, over $1,300 through just our loose change and dollars that we dropped in there for the release sale. So give yourselves a round of applause. Remember, it is not a competition. We are not competing with any larger churches just down the road. But they have things listed alphabetically at the release sale. And another church that starts with S had $100 and like 70 cents more than we did. I'm just saying, it's not a competition. It all goes to a good cause, but that's pretty impressive. So you don't have to applaud for that one. Okay, so we are continuing through Luke again today. And, you know what, while we're making some noise, if you have enjoyed this difficult walk through Luke, raise your hand. I see some hands that didn't move. Okay, take that personally. Luke has been a challenging book for me to preach through. I have read these scriptures many times, and I'm reading them almost like again for the first time. I think that was a cornflake slogan. Taste it again for the first time. And as I read through them here and preach through these scriptures, I find myself challenged time and time again. There's always something new that, I mean, I just missed the first 99 times, and now that I go through it the 100th time, oh my goodness, I never even considered that. And that's something amazing about the scriptures that God gives to us. Every time we read them, there's something new to be found. So we're going to continue through Luke today, and it's up until we come to Advent, which should take us right up to the last Sunday of November. But today we're going to look at another section of scripture that I find challenging. And we've been looking at some really tough scripture lately. 2 weeks ago we looked at the parable of the shrewd manager. Last week we looked at the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And today's scripture seems to be two very unrelated sections. And that's how commentators often break it down. They look at two of these verses as being one section of scripture, and they look at the last three verses as being an entirely different section of scriptures. So they take verses, what would it be, like we started in verse 5. They take 5 and 6. And take that as one section, and the rest they take as an entirely separate section. And it seems when we read through the scriptures like this, if we start breaking it down, it seems like we have this ADD Jesus, this Jesus that just can't focus for any period of time. He's popcorning over here and over here and over here and over here. But I think we need to give Jesus a little more credit than that. We need to remember that 2,000 years ago, people had longer attention spans than we did. And it's true. I mean, people could sit down and they'd have conversations. I've heard stories about how when Abraham Lincoln was running for president, that they had like 2-hour-long debates. They were answering one question. One guy would talk for an hour, and then the next guy would talk for an hour. So back then, when the Bible was being written, these are actually not just popcorning ideas, one here and one there. It's not just like Twitter, where people are putting 150 characters down on their computer screen. These are long, developed thoughts that Jesus is trying to convey a deep message. And he uses various stories, various parables to convey this deeper message. So all that again is to say, these teachings are hard. And they're hard for us in the 21st century. And you know what? They weren't any less difficult for the disciples when they first heard them in the first century. And I'm sure as they heard these scriptures about the shrewd manager, as they heard these story about Lazarus and the rich man, and actually the verses that come before our scripture for today are about forgiving somebody. These disciples surely heard these things and they thought time and time again, they thought, how, Jesus, how can we even begin to do these things? How can we change the way we think and change the way we live and change who we are to follow what you're calling us to do. They're getting frustrated after all these difficult teachings. So what do? They come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, increase our faith. Because we can't do it on our own. We need some help. We've been doing this for a while now, and we just get confused and we get challenged and we fail time and time again. And people are saying, you're not who you say you are. People are saying, you're not the Son of God. People are saying, you're not the Christ. So they come to Him and say, Jesus, please, just increase our faith. Give us a little bit more so that we know that You truly are the Christ. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, if only you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Well, that solves all my problems right there. How about you? You don't know how many times I have stayed up all night long saying, if only I could toss that mulberry tree into the sea, that would solve all of my problems. Oh, Jesus, thank You so much for that scripture. No, I mean, I don't even know what a mulberry tree is. We know the mustard seed, right? Mustard seed is an itty-bitty tiny seed. But what in the world is a mulberry tree? The only thing I know about mulberry trees is they often also come in bush form, and sometimes monkeys chase weasels around them. Okay, you got that. Around and around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. That's the only reference I know to mulberry bushes. You don't know that. Well, it doesn't mean I know that. There's oak trees all over the place. I don't pick out an oak tree. Pine trees. I know pine trees. I don't know what kind of pine, but anyways, I don't know much about mulberry trees. So I did a little bit of research, and I found out that mulberry trees would really do well in this year's kind of weather because mulberry trees have extensive root systems. They say don't plant a mulberry tree close to your garden or close to your perennials because they will outcompete your garden and your perennials for the water that's available in the soil. They also say don't plant mulberry trees close to a hard pavement like sidewalk or a driveway because their roots will grow underneath that and they will break it up because they have such a strong root system. Now, this is a picture of a mulberry tree. Not all of them are that. Well, what's the first thing you notice about that tree? It's crooked. It goes out, it V's, it stretches. Not all of them are like that. What do you think, Ben? It's a good climbing tree. I think you're right. That would be a good climbing tree. But not all the mulberry trees are like that. Some of them are more up and down. But let me ask you this. If you had two trees side by side and one was out like that and there was one that was perfectly straight up and down, which one needs the better root system to stay up? The one that's sideways. Try standing straight up and down. That's pretty easy to do. Try leaning forward at a 45 degree angle. That's not so hard to do, or it's not so easy to do without falling down. So mulberry trees have extensive root systems. And that's why Jesus uses that in His example today. He's saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can pull that tree up and cast it into the water. Which one's more difficult, to pull it up or to cast it in the water? I don't know. They both seem relatively impossible to me. And that is the point. If you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, you, through Jesus Christ, can do the impossible. Well, that's how I've always understood the scripture anyways. But I read this week from a commentator, and that's usually a good practice. Sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it's not so good. I read from a commentator who said this. He said, there is no such thing as having a little bit of faith. You either have it or you don't. He compared it to being pregnant. He says, there's no such thing as being a little pregnant. You either are pregnant or you're not pregnant. Well, this bothered me this week because, it really shook my foundation of my understanding of faith. Jesus said, you need faith as small as a mustard seed and you can do these miraculous things. But this guy is saying there's no such thing as a small amount of faith, or at least that's the way I understood him at first. But then I went through different versions of the Bible. And I read through, every now and then I break out that old crusty Greek Bible, and I look in there, and I see that what Jesus is saying is not that we need to have faith the size of a mustard seed. Really what the scripture says is we need to have faith as a grain of mustard. What in the world does that mean? Does mustard have faith? Are we supposed to try to match our faith to the faith of a mustard seed? No, I don't think that's what he's trying to say. But what do we know about mustard? Tastes good. It's good on hamburgers and hot dogs. Makes a terrible stain. How about the mustard seed? What did I say earlier? Tiny. What about the mustard plant? It's huge. That is a mustard plant. That's the flower of a mustard plant, zoomed in. But these things grow 8 foot high in a year. When you plant them in the spring, by the time, I think it's like less than 2 months, they're at full height. They're as big as a tree. Mustard seeds go from this itty-bitty plant, the itty-bitty seed, to a large plant. So I think that what Jesus is saying, when he says that we are to have faith as a mustard seed, I think that really does go along with what that commentator was saying. Because I don't think that faith is measured by number, but faith is measured by size. For instance, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you don't just continue to gather these itty-bitty pieces of faith. You don't gather them in a bag and add them until they start to add up, and then eventually you have the faith that you can throw over your shoulder and carry around like a bag full of seed. Now, faith starts as this itty-bitty seed, and that seed grows and blossoms. So this is my understanding of what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. He's telling them that faith develops like a mustard seed. But then he goes into this parable, and most people say they're just not connected in any way. That this parable stands alone. It's something different than what Jesus was saying about the mustard seed kind of faith. And I think as I spent some time really discerning what he's trying to say here, I think that these two things are very well connected. This faith the size of a mustard seed, and this parable about these servants. In the parable, Jesus tells his disciples about these servants that are either out tending the sheep or they're plowing the ground. I think the point is that it's really not important what they're doing, but they're working. And when they're done with that work, they come in. And Jesus says, well, do they sit down right away? Do they take their own meal and they begin eating it? He says, no. They've still got work to do. They've got to prepare the meal for the rest of the household. And it's only after they've completed the task that they've done, or the task that they were assigned to do, it's only after they've done everything that they've been assigned that they're able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. So I think when Jesus tells this parable, he's not trying to tell something totally unrelated to this parable of the mustard seed. What he's trying to say is he's trying to explain to his disciples just how their faith will grow and develop. I'm going to take a little tangent here, and we'll come back to that and better explain it. I noticed out in the lobby area that there are a lot of peppers, and I'm guessing, Lo and Marlene, a lot of peppers. Last week we had a lot of tomatoes. Did anybody else have a garden that did any good this year? Gary, you had some? Yeah, Artis? Okay. Mine didn't. At the beginning of the spring, I worked up the soil, I planted the plants, I did all this work, and I thought, you know, this is going to be a good year for my garden. We had a lot of rain this spring, didn't we? The soil was looking good. I did the things I needed to do. I had some compost from the year before. I prepared the soil. But then this fall, I mean, I've got nothing. I got a handful of beans. I got a couple of radishes, and that's about it. So it's normal at this time of year. The farmer in me comes out, and after the harvest is complete, you sit down and you think about the year that just went past. And you say to yourself, what can I do to improve the harvest from this year? What went right and what went wrong? So as I sat down to think about what might have caused my vegetable garden to not produce this year, I think it was pretty easy to decide what it was, right? I had the phosphorus to potassium ratio way off whenever I fertilized, right? No, didn't get rain this year. You guys have a well, right? So you could water some. Jim and Janie, we'll say Jim and Janie. Jim and Janie have a great well. They could water their garden. That's why they got vegetables this year. I have to buy my water from the city, and I'm too lazy to carry buckets of water up to my garden. So it just didn't grow. There's really no doubt in my mind why these vegetables didn't grow. Even though at the beginning of the year I had such high hopes for my garden, I know that they didn't grow and they didn't develop because I didn't give them what they needed to develop. Water is essential for plants to grow from a seed to harvest. If you don't give them what they need, they wither and die. I've got some dead plants in my garden to prove it. Now, at the beginning of the summer when I planted those seeds, if I could have gone from the seed to the harvest on the same day, I think that would have been a great harvest. But it doesn't work like that, does it? Things develop over a period of time. You have to continue to put into something what is necessary to develop it into what is desired. So when Jesus is telling his disciples this parable, when he's telling them about these workers, that after they've been out working, they come in and they're still not able to eat, they're still not able to enjoy what they really desire, he's telling them that you have to really work before you get the things that you want in this world as well. And the same goes for faith. He's saying, if you want your faith to develop, I'm not just going to give it to you. No, you have to work for your faith. Faith doesn't develop like planting a seed in the ground and then turning around the next day and harvesting it. You have to continue to put things into it. You have to continue to labor. You have to continue to prune. You have to continue to weed the garden. It's only after you put forth the effort that you're able to reap what you really desire. Those disciples, they wanted to bypass all of these steps. They wanted to move straight from the time of planting to the time of harvesting. They wanted to have Jesus increase their faith. He said, no, you have the faith the size of a mustard seed now. Keep tending that, and it will develop, and it will grow. So the point I want to make, when we ask how does faith grow? Faith grows through faithfulness. When you are faithful to what Jesus has called you to do, when you are faithful in doing the things that He taught, that's when your faith grows. When you step out in faith, when you do something that you normally wouldn't do, when you sell all your possessions and move to Zambia, and things finally come together, it's only after you've made that commitment, after you've done the work, then I'm sure your faith grows when things come together. It's after you've committed to following Jesus that you look back and you say, oh my goodness, in my faith as I stepped out, I look back and I now see that God has been faithful. And as I see that God is faithful, that increases my faith and makes it that much easier for me to step out the next time that God is calling me to do something. Faith grows through faithfulness. That's the mustard seed again. Mustard plant. Well, we see that the disciples, they learn this throughout their time with Jesus, don't they? They learn that it's what they do that causes their faith to grow. And I'm thinking of the time in Matthew's Gospel, I believe it's Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, that this story begins. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We've heard this story before, right? Jesus is preaching to 5,000 people, and he's off in some desolate place. There's nothing close by. There's no place to buy food, no place to buy water. They're just kind of out in the middle of nowhere, preaching, teaching, learning, healing. And evening is coming, the sun's going down, and all at once the disciples get a little bit nervous, and they say to Jesus, they say, Jesus, why don't you send these people away? Because we don't have any food here for them to eat. And they might have been a little bit selfish, they might have been getting hungry themselves, because they've been out there all day, they're probably worried, where's my next meal coming from? And they come to Jesus, they say, send them away. But instead of doing what they request, Jesus gives them a job. He says, I want you to go out and find all the food that you can amongst the people. So the disciples do this. They go out and they search high and they search low and they pool all their food together. And they come back to Jesus and all they have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And these aren't really big loaves. They're probably more like small biscuits. So they probably come back to Jesus and they're feeling kind of low on faith. They're like, there's no way that this is going to feed even our 12 disciples plus you, Jesus. They're probably thinking, there's no way that we're going to get fed tonight. Jesus is just going to keep teaching and keeping us here. And all these people are going to get hungry. They're going to come up and they're going to be angry and storm off. And they're not going to become followers. Jesus, what are we going to do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And Jesus says, give them to me. Give them to me. We did all the work gathering this together. We searched high and low. This is going to be enough to feed maybe me and another couple of disciples. And now you, Jesus, who just sat there talking, you want us to give you the only food that we have? But they do it, don't they? They give what they have out of their little to Jesus, out of faith. They have that mustard seed-sized faith, and they are faithful to what Jesus is calling them to do. And Jesus takes that food and he blesses it. And then he gives it back to the disciples. And he says, give this to the people. And they're probably looking at it and they're saying, it's still 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not going to get us very far. And I bet you at that time they're thinking, okay, show us what's going to happen here. Tell us what you're going to do. Maybe give us a sign. Increase our faith. So that we know we're not going to look like fools as we go around trying to hand this out and run out after 2 or 3 people. They surely want a sign there, just like they wanted a sign in our scripture for today. But Jesus doesn't give them any sign. He says, give it to the people. And they go from person to person. And those loaves and fishes, they expand and they grow and there's more and there's more. And they probably don't know until they're at the very last person that everyone is going to get fed. But when they get done with their job, they probably look back and they say, man, God did that. God did that through me. God did that through us. God did that because we were faithful in following Him and serving Him. We are all here today because we're seeking to know this God. We're seeking to know this Jesus Christ who died for us, who called us to live as He lived. We've got that little bit of faith. I'm sure that each and every one of us has it. How does that faith grow and develop? It grows through our faithfulness. When God calls us to something, we step out. When God calls us to do something, we listen. And as our faith develops and grows, our faith leads to more faithfulness. And it grows from that tiny seed to a mustard tree. The next time that you feel led to toss a mulberry tree into the sea, or the next time that you feel like you are being called by God to feed 5,000 or to step out in faith and do something that you don't believe is even possible, if you believe that God is truly calling you, do what God's calling you to do. And God will increase your faith. God won't prove along the way that God is God. But when you look back, you will see if God has truly called you, God was with you every step of the way. Let's pray. God, you have called us all to step out in some way. From the calling of Abram, when you called him to leave his family behind, the land of his father behind, to go to a land that he did not know, you have been calling us to be faithful. And as Abram learned that you will be there with him, guide him, and show him. You've proven yourself to be faithful. When we are faithful, we see your faithfulness, Lord, and that increases our faith. We know, Lord, there are times that we would like to bypass those steps. We would like to have our faith increased immediately. But we don't plant a seed and immediately expect a harvest. Now, there's things that need to come along in the middle. So, Lord, we pray for patience. And we pray that you continue to guide us, to lead us. May we step out in faith when called. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.